last week, in case you didn't see it, we said that making space begins with knowing that God's the owner and the creator and provider. We get to be the managers of what he gives us, and he rewards good managers. And from that, I want to build today. And my point that I want to share with us is it's helpful if we can make space in our lives for contentment. And I want to use the word confession. We don't have to talk about money and confession hand in hand, but I want to do that today. And I want to make the argument that confession can lead us to contentment. And to do that, let's just start with Jesus, the greatest wise sage of all time, and let's see what his wisdom is for us. And in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. So let's read this. Your screen says, "Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store up your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." Powerful words. Every time I read that, it just hits me. So let's unpack that and thinking about this idea of confessing that would lead us to contentment. Well, I want to tell you three things that I find that are helpful to confess. And the first one is this. It's helpful if we will confess our needs. So confess your needs. Sometimes we struggle at, or at least I have, not realizing or paying attention to the difference between what we need and what we want. So what I really want sometimes, I think, is what I need, right? So I have to have it. Well, no, I just really feel like I have to have it. I just really want it. And sometimes that has been because I just wanted to impress people. I wanted other people to see what I had and see me, and I just wanted them to be impressed. Sometimes it's been because I wanted to keep up with the Joneses. You know, the people around me, I looked at them and said, you know what, man, that's what they have. So I envied what they have, and I wanted to be more like them. I kind of had this ambition to, ooh, let me get that, have that, and they'll see me as being equal to them. Sometimes I've done it to help me feel better about myself. Sometimes the things that I've wanted have made me feel more valuable. At least I look at myself as, well, I have my wants, therefore I'm more valuable. I might even say more successful. And then sometimes it's basically come because I've confused my net worth with my self-worth. Did you catch that? Confused sometimes by how much I'm actually worth based on how much money and stuff I have. So the more stuff and money I have, the more valuable I feel like I am. So I've confused my self-worth with my net worth. And man, that's a dangerous confusion to make. So I think it's important for us if we confess our needs and know how they're different than our wants. You say, is it really that dangerous? I came across these statistics that say Americans spend approximately, on average, 103% of their income. That's 103, right? So spending more than they're making. There's another one that says spending habits is a leading cause of divorce. Another one says approximately 75% of doctor visits involve symptoms that are related to stress. It's dangerous to not know the difference between needs and wants. So we need to know what those needs are and confess those needs. You say, well, what might help me to do that? Well, before I tell you that, let me read out of the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Then I observed that most people are motivated to success because they envy their neighbors. But this too is meaningless, like chasing the wind. Fools fold their idle hands, leading them to ruin. And yet, better to have one handful of quietness than two handfuls with hard work and chasing the wind. Basically, it's better, as we talked about last Sunday, it's better to be content maybe with being a one-talent servant instead of trying to pretend and work towards being a two-talent servant, which is not who you are, right? And so I had said last week, one of the keys to being content, kind of gave a spoiler last week, you know, was be content with what you have when you have it, and do the best you can with what you have to help advance the kingdom of God in the world. That's a secret to being content in our lives. Hey, if you haven't had a chance to see last week's or listen to that, you can get that on our website. I really want to encourage you to go back and to listen or watch that to kind of catch you up to speed, because we're going to kind of build on each week as we go through this series. So perhaps what you want to do is confess your needs. You say, well, that's what you're talking about. So here's something that might help us. You might ask yourself, just stop and think, what is most important in my life? So what are the most important things and people in your life? Then, okay, how am I devoting my time towards those most important things and people? What does it look like and how I'm using my time? Do I find joy in what I'm doing? Or do I feel like I'm just chasing after the wind, that I can never quite get there? And then here's a challenging one. If I look and I listen to the people around me, do those people see a balance in my life between pursuing after my needs and my wants? Do they see a healthy balance in my life? And if you don't like any of the answers to those questions, if you're being honest, you have the prerogative to make a change, to reprioritize. So what are those most important things? Change your schedule so that you're pouring more time, talent, and treasure into those most important things and people in your life. Here's the hard truth. No one can prioritize what's best. That's something that we have to do in our own lives, and we have to do it with the Lord, because he'll teach us. But we have to be willing to take that step and confess what our real needs are versus our wants. That's a step towards contentment. That's one confession. You ready for the second? Here we go. Confess money's truth. So where are you going with this one? Money promises an illusion. Say, what? Yeah, money actually promises an illusion. It really does not achieve in us what it suggests that it's going to achieve as we keep chasing after it more and more. In fact, it can be quite dangerous in our lives and even impact our faith. And that's kind of what the Apostle Paul was telling Timothy in his first letter to him. Let me read 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 for us today. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Notice he didn't say money is the root, but the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money or loving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many arrows. Paul's I think Paul's helping Timothy to understand that, look, money's not bad. Actually, ministry needs money to help those around us. We benefit. That's why your financial giving and tithing with a dollar difference as well, like, that's why those things matter so much. You help us make a difference for the kingdom. But the love of money, the craving after it, I have to have it, I got to have more, that's where it gets us in trouble, because it really doesn't bring the peace, you know, the comfort, the happiness that we think it's going to bring. And it can tempt us to love that more than we do the owner, the creator, and the giver of all that we have, and actually of money itself, who is God. I don't intend to try to make us feel guilty about money this morning. That is not my intent. Yet let me share where this love of money and its potential danger actually comes out of. The human desire is for more. Think about that for a second. The human desire is for more. Do you realize we were created that way? Actually, back in Genesis, when God created the earth and the heavens and all that's on earth, and he created Adam and Eve, he actually told them to cultivate and to work, which meant to grow and produce good out of more and more good out of what he had blessed them with. God has put that into the order of life itself. And then in Genesis 3, when the serpent is tempting Eve to eat of that fruit, he's tempting her for more, but more knowledge. To know more and be more like God. She ate. So did Adam. You see, they gave in for their own purposes, self-purpose, into that desire for more. The Tower of Babel, further in Genesis, is a story of people gathering together of diverse backgrounds, and they're building this amazing tower, and it's stretching up to the heavens. And God wasn't pleased. Not because they were building something great, but because their heart was desiring more pride, fame, security for themselves. That their stuff, material, chasing after what it would give them was becoming more important than the God who had given them life and everything that they had. And that's astray. It can be as subtle as when I get that raise, I can relax. I have said that on more than one occasion. How about you? When I get that raise, oh, I can relax. It'll be easier. When I get more in the bank, whew, it'll be smooth sailing from that point. Or if I can just get over this rough patch, finances are a little tight, if I just get over this rough patch, whew, the stress is going to go away. You know what I found? Stress doesn't go away. Even when you get over the rough patch, or you get more in the bank, or you get that raise, it just doesn't go away, right? There's always something more. And I can remember looking at some of the pictures of people who were rich and seeing the smiles and thinking, gosh, richest people have got to be the happiest people in the world. And then come to find out, no, not really. Just posed that way for a picture. What you saw was an illusion to what really wasn't there. You see, it's never permanent, right? I mean, we know that. It comes, it goes. Sometimes it feels like it goes a lot quicker than it comes, and that's just the way it is. It's not permanent. I like what Jim Carrey, the comedian, an actor once said. He said, I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything so they can see it's not the answer. I came across that and I thought, man, that's actually pretty wise. So let's unveil the truth on the illusion. Money is a means. Money is not an end. Money is a means to live the life that God has entrusted us with right now where we are. It's not the end in and of itself. So if our faith is in money and really it's illusion, well, you'll always be disappointed in the end. It's not what it sells. Let me give you a different type of illustration on this idea of an illusion. I came across a story that said sometime back that at Walt Disney World, that when you walk into the park, pretty soon you will walk down Main Street. And on Main Street, there's different shops and selling different things. And there's a bakery. And one day, as guests were walking down the street, they could smell freshly baked cookies. That's one of my favorite smells in the world. I love it. It's so good. And guess what it did? It enticed them to want to buy a cookie. And so they would go to the bakery, but there was a problem. When they walked into the bakery and they asked for a cookie that they could smell, they said, "We're not baking any." Talk about confusion, right? In fact, the park was working on the kitchen and the ovens, and so what they didn't do was actually turn the scent machine off that was pumping the smell outside. So the guests smelt the illusion of what would something that would bring them joy, but when they actually walked in, there wasn't a cookie to eat. You imagine folks getting frustrated? Oh, my heart would be broken. I'd want a cookie so bad. I thought that seemed a lot like what we're talking about. You know, when money doesn't meet our expectations, sometimes it gets frustrating. Because we know we need it. So perhaps it's helpful if we would confess money's truth, that money is a means to the end. It's not the end in itself. And what it promises, it really doesn't deliver, even though that's what the world so often wants us to believe, so that we'll spend our money on stuff that really isn't going to bring the happiness and the peace and the comfort that we're longing for. Well, making space for contentment, coming through confession. So let's recap. We've talked about confessing that money has a truth that really isn't exactly what it says. We have needs that are not wants and vice versa, and we need to confess our needs. And then number three, we want to confess God's blessings. Confess God's blessings in our lives. To set that up, let's go to Ecclesiastes again. Chapter 5, verse 19. Let me read that again. First time. "And it is a good thing to receive wealth from God and the good health to enjoy it." I like that. "To enjoy your work and accept your lot in life, this is indeed a gift from God." I love that passage. I'll confess to you that there's been times that I have been too driven for wanting to work towards a certain point or a certain achievement or to be able to buy or to be able to get, and always, you know, striving for that next thing that's down the road and just missing out on what I have in the right now. You know, as we say, in the here and now. Sometimes I'm too driven for the next thing and I miss out and I don't appreciate what I have in front of me. I could think there's been times as well, and maybe you can relate with this, where I felt so blessed by God that I kind of felt guilty. And so I felt I need to not flaunt what I have in abundance because I know there's other people that don't have. And so I feel guilty about it. And so I just kind of sit on it and kind of hide it. And I don't actually enjoy it or use it to bless other people. And then my favorite is holding on to things afraid of ruining it, afraid of making a mistake with it. And so I don't use it. And I miss out on a blessing. I got to tell you, probably 10 years ago or so, 10, 11 years ago, I officiated a wedding for a friend of mine I used to play soccer with when I was playing in an intramural soccer league. And he'd asked me if I would marry him and his fiance, and they were going to have a blended family, just sweet, sweet folks. And I did the wedding, and they gave me one of the coolest gifts that I've ever gotten, and it was a soccer ball that they had signed with a black marker their names on it. And I thought that was so fun, so creative of an idea. So I took that soccer ball and I set it aside. And even to this day, I still have that sitting in my closet. And you know what? I've never played with that soccer ball. I've been so afraid of messing it up, of scuffing it up. And I've seen that as the blessing when really the ball is not the blessing. The ball is a gift that's meant to be played with. Right? To bring joy playing soccer. And I happen to love soccer. The blessing is the gift of the relationship and the experience that I got to have with my friends and the memory that carries with me from that. I was thinking about this for today and I thought of that soccer ball and I thought, man, God, I have just missed out on so many potential blessings because I didn't enjoy the gift that was given to me to be a blessing. And I thought, God, I bet a lot of us are probably guilty of that very thing. What do you think? We've missed out on the blessing because we haven't enjoyed the blessings from the gifts that are right there in front of us. Whether we've strived for more, we feel guilty about what we had, or we're afraid of making a mistake with it, or that we wouldn't have what we needed, and we've just missed out. It doesn't bring peace to me. And I would guess it probably doesn't bring peace to you either. Because that's not God's order for our lives. And in fact, that lack of peace, that's meant to teach us a wise and a better way of living. It creates a discomfort in us. And that's not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. We don't like to experience it, but it's meant for our good, to sort of discipline us to change, to work towards change. You say, well, what do I do with that? Well, I got a simple response for that one. And that is, use what you have where you are with an attitude of gratitude. I know that's nothing new. I'm sure you've heard that before. But be intentional with gratitude. I think that is absolutely critical. That in every season you're in, choose to be grateful. You say, I don't feel like I have anything to be thankful for. Yeah, you do. But you're going to have to choose to be intentional about being grateful. It may not come to you at first, so you're going to have to stop and ask God to help you know the things, the blessings that are in your life that you can be grateful for. And I'll pick up on that in a moment. So maybe it's helpful to have a thank you habit. So what is a thank you habit? Well, I think a thank you habit is having the pattern of saying thank you to God. And I believe that's where Paul goes in Philippians chapter 4. Let me read that today. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Always praying, every situation, crying out to God, saying, Lord, help me. And Paul says, but in the same breath, have an attitude of gratitude. Practice a thank you habit in every situation. So let's call it intentional gratitude. So that looks like, I believe, asking God, What do I have to be thankful for? If maybe I can't see it in this moment, I believe it's also thanking him just for the new day. You know, Lord, thank you that I woke up today. I may not feel that great today, but thank you that I woke up today. Thank you that I'm still alive today. Thank you that I have food that I can eat today. Thank you that I have clothes that I can wear today. Thank you that I have a job that I can go to today, or I have people that are helping me with where I'm at in my life right now. It may not be where I want to be, but God, thank you. I've got people that care and are coming alongside me. Think about having someone that can help you every day or weekly to have an attitude of gratitude. Accountability partner. Sometimes we think about accountability partner just needs to be so we don't do bad things. But why not have an accountability partner that would help you to do the right things, to have an attitude of gratitude, right? Somebody can say, hey, what have you given thanks to God for lately? You may not be in the habit of thinking that way every day. So it's good to have someone encourage us to change the way we think, be transformed through the renewing of our mind as the Spirit of God helps us to see the things that God has blessed us with and the gifts he has given to us. All right. Confessing God's blessings helps us to balance being content with what we have while also striving for more, right? We want to work towards more for the kingdom. But at the same time, God says, I also want you to be content with what you have. So confessing God's blessings with intentional gratitude can really be a way to help us balance those two ends. Confession is good for the soul. What do you think? I don't know too many people that like confessing things to other people or even to God, but confession is really good for the soul. The book of James teaches that, all throughout the Old Testament and into the Gospels, it's that same principle carries throughout. Confession is good for the soul. So, why not use it to make space for financial peace and spiritual peace in our lives? Simply confess, God's blessings with gratitude, we just talked about. Confess money's truth. It's just a means to an end. It's not the end result. And then, confess your needs. Know what you need and know the difference between that and just what you want. I think those three confessions are good for the soul. So I would argue, let's use confession as a way of making space for contentment and peace. Simple enough, right? Amen. Well, let me pray for us as we end today and ask the Holy Spirit to help us to make space for contentment by confession. God, thank you for a time of worshiping you and the freedom to be able to speak to you from our heart, to hear from you by your Spirit today as we've worshiped. Would you, Holy Spirit, continue to give us the strength and clarity and the wisdom that we need to make space in our lives for financial peace through confession. Help us to learn how to enjoy what you've given us. Help us live our lives filled with enjoyment and thanksgiving, looking to you as the giver and the sustainer of our needs. And please keep us from being driven by insatiable wants for more. Please help where needed to heal and balance our souls and help us not to forfeit our very selves for lesser things, but to long for the things that are truly treasures in heaven as we use what we've been given to grow your kingdom with you. In Jesus' name, I ask this prayer. Amen.